Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Lord willing, tonight I'm going to be speaking out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that begins, "To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And as the Lord enables me, I want to bring a message for the new year from that passage of Scripture. So if you can look at those first 15 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this afternoon, I think it would be helpful. Turn back to Luke chapter 8, please. I've entitled this message, "Mary Magdalene." I don't know if I've ever preached on this. I couldn't remember if I have. But very little is said about this, but there were women also who followed the Lord in his itinerant ministry, as is described in verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 2. "Certain women," they traveled with him to these different cities, "certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." Now, women are called in the Scripture the weaker vessel. But it was the men who forsook the Lord in his agony while the women remained at the cross. It was women who followed those who took the body of Christ down so they could see where he was buried. And the men disciples were in hiding at this time. There was an absence of men at his tomb that Sunday morning, wasn't there? No men. Only the women. And it was a woman that the Lord first appeared to. Look in Mark chapter 16. God the Holy Spirit sees fit to point this out to us. Verse 9. "Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." Now, why did the Lord appear first to her? Well, church tradition has it, and I think that there might be something to this. If you look back at Luke chapter 8, "And it came to pass afterward." After what? Well, this is when the Lord made himself known to that woman who was a sinner. We considered that a couple of weeks ago. Look in verse 37. "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." Now, church tradition, whatever that means, says that this woman was Mary Magdalene. I don't know. But he did appear to her first. And perhaps if she is this woman, she's someone who we know from the Lord's own testimony loved much. And the Lord appeared to her first. Now, we have this traveling posse of women with Christ. I love thinking about that. You see, he didn't have an income, and these women supported him of their substance. It doesn't say the men supported him, it says the women did. That's what's pointed out in this passage of Scripture. And what a privilege they had. Now look at verse 2, "certain women." I love this word in the Scriptures. You know, the Lord always says certain people, doesn't he? Certain people. There was a certain woman named Lydia whose heart the Lord opened. He always saves certain people. And how are these people described? "Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. There are people he healed. I love that verse of scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 11, where it says, he healed them that had need of healing. Lord, I'm one of those people. I need healing. Heal me, because you said, he healed them that had need of healing. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He healed these women. And three of these women are named: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. Now, we're not given any information about Susanna, but I think this is really neat. Joanna was the wife of a man who was Herod's steward. Herod, the enemy of Jesus Christ. Herod, the one who had John the Baptist beheaded. Oh, grace has a long arm, doesn't it? Here this one is in this wicked home of the enemy of Christ, and God saves her. And she becomes one of these people who just follow around the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's mentioned as one of the women who came early that Sunday morning to his tomb. And then we have Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, the scripture says. This woman was demon possessed. Seven representing full possession. What a miserable life she must have had. She may have indeed been this woman in Luke chapter 7. We have no reason to think she's not. I guess maybe we don't have any. I don't know. I don't know who she was, but the Lord points her out as the one he appeared to first after his resurrection. She was demon possessed. Is there demon possession in our day? We have no reason to think there's not. I know very little about it. But what a miserable life this woman must have had. What mental anguish. What emotional turmoil. She was possessed by seven demons. Now, was she this woman who was a sinner? Well, she may have been. Dark immorality is certainly associated with demon possession. Some people believe some forms of mental illness are demon possession. Perhaps, I don't know. But the Lord saved this woman. He healed her. And these demons left her, and she's a part of his traveling posse, ministering to him of her substance. Now, she's obviously a trophy of grace. Isn't everybody God saves a trophy of grace? Now, this woman was demon-possessed. And this is something you'll notice about every demon-possessed person in the Scripture. None of them ever came to Christ and asked for mercy. Not one of them. They said, leave us alone. What have we to do with thee? What connection is there between us and you? Leave us alone. Every one of them said, leave us alone. Now, the Lord came to them. They didn't come to him. He came to them. And isn't that the way the Lord did with you? You said, leave me alone. I said, leave me alone. And he came to us. She is a trophy of the sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus. You see, salvation is of the Lord. This woman, this woman's one of the elect. God chose her. Christ came to save her. Salvation is of the Lord. He does it all. And she was a trophy of grace. She's a very special lady. We've already seen how the Lord appeared to her first, before he did anybody else. Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 23. This is right after the Lord's... they took him down from the cross. Verse 55. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after. The disciples weren't, but the women did. And beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And Mary was in that group. Now, would you turn to John chapter 20? John chapter 20. Verse 1. The first day of the week, Sunday morning, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Mary comes and finds the stone rolled away. Now, the Lord said on at least three different occasions during His public ministry, I'm going to be crucified. And the third day, I'm going to come back from the dead. I'm going to rise from the dead. He said that to them three different times. Why weren't they there waiting? Because they didn't believe. It just was meaningless to them. You know, the enemies of the Lord knew about it. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 63 through 65, His enemies heard Him say this, we remember that deceiver, while he was still alive, said, after 3 days I'll rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest His disciples come by night and steal Him away, and say to the people, He's risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. How sure could they make it? Is there anything they could do to prevent that stone from being rolled away and Him to come walking out? No, make it as sure as you can. And they did. But what strength did they have before divine power? Was Mary expecting His resurrection? I don't know. Perhaps. It doesn't say she did, but she should have expected it. And she arrives in the dark early in the morning, and the stone has been rolled away. Mighty angels had rolled it away. Verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Don't you love the way John identifies himself that way? He doesn't even use his own name. He just identifies himself as that disciple that Jesus loved. I want to be that disciple, don't you? I want to be that one whom Jesus loves. And she saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. It's glorious to think of the Lord doing this, unwrapping His clothes, taking the thing that was on His head and putting it by itself. Verse 8, then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the Scriptures, that He must rise from the dead. Now, why must He rise from the dead? Well, He must because He said He would. And He can't lie. Whatever He says must be. He must because full satisfaction had been made by what He did. The justice of God demanded His resurrection. The debt was paid in full. God could ask for no more. And God can ask for no more out of me. And He can require no less. But He must rise from the dead because full satisfaction was made. He must rise from the dead because the Scripture said He would. Psalm 16:9 says, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. The Scripture said He would rise from the dead, so He must rise from the dead. I love what Peter said on the day of Pentecost regarding His death. It was not possible that He should be holden of it. Death was put to death in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke 24 for just a moment. Hold your finger there in John 20. Look in Luke 24. Verse 44. And he said unto them, this is after his resurrection, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And when they understood the Scriptures, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved. Now that word behooved is necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer. Why was it necessary for him to suffer? Because he was made sin, and sin must be punished. It was necessary for him to suffer. And it was necessary for him to rise from the dead the third day. It was necessary because full payment was made, and the very justice of God demands his resurrection and the salvation of everybody he represented. Verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins. These two words always go together. Repentance and remission of sins. A change of mind with regard to the remission of sins. You understand that Christ actually remitted sin and put it away. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now turn back to John 20. Verse 10, then the disciples, Peter and John, went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Peter and John left the scene, but Mary couldn't. She just stayed there weeping. You see, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. So did Peter and John. I wouldn't in any way say they didn't. But I believe she loved him more. I believe she loved him more. And that's not really so much to commend her. She ought to love him more. You know, when we talk about people and say, we really love the Lord, almost like we're commending, you ought to love the Lord. He's altogether lovely. I really think a better description of somebody is somebody whom the Lord loves. They love the Lord. You don't love him enough. Mary didn't love him enough. Neither does anybody else. Not as he ought to be loved. But she did love her Lord. And she couldn't bear leaving that place. She didn't know where he was. She was weeping. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, says verse 11, and looked into the sepulchre. You know, the only time we get any true spiritual sight is when we stoop down. And don't lose that. The only time I'm going to have a true spiritual sight of the Son of God is when I stoop down. As long as I'm up so high, I cannot see. That's why I don't see. I'm way too high. No, the only way you see him is to stoop. She stooped down, and what did she see in that sepulcher? An empty tomb. Verse 12. And she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Laying there for 3 days, but he's not there now. He was raised from the dead, and there sat these two angels. In Luke's account, they said to her, why seek ye the living among the dead? Isn't that a good question? Why seek ye him who lives among the dead in sins, the dead in religion? He's not here. He's risen. Remember ye how he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words at that time. Verse 13. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Now, if you believe that, you'll be weeping too. They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where he is. You know when you can't see him? When you don't know where he is? When you feel like he's been taken away? I mean, even when you hear preaching, it seems like he's not there. Oh, you weep. You weep. You want to know where he is. If you don't know where he is, if you know him and if you love him, you'll weep. She's weeping because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She didn't recognize him. There he stands before her in his glorified body, and she doesn't know who he is. How could that be? I'll answer that by asking another question. How is it that you and I so often do not recognize him? Same way she did. She didn't recognize him. She knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. All the suppositions we make that are just wrong. Just wrong. She supposed him. You know, if something is not right there in the Bible, you can bet it's wrong. They supposed. Remember his parents supposed he was with him when they left him back in Jerusalem? They supposed he was with him. Oh, our suppositions. She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She was ready to get his dead body back to its rightful place. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. I reckon that there's no higher honor than for the Lord to call me by my name. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I call them out by name. I tell you when she recognized the Lord. When he said, Mary, and all was revealed. Don't you want him to call your name? I want to hear him say, Todd. Todd. I want him to call my name. And when he calls your name, you'll know him. You'll recognize him. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Which is to say, Master. Now this is one of two times that this title is used in the Scripture. It's the title of highest respect. Highest respect. Bartimaeus used it. When the Lord said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He said, Lord. It's translated Lord there, but it's actually the word Rabboni. My great Lord. My great Master. She says, when her name is called, My great Master. Now, I know this. I know this. If he calls my name, oh, may he be pleased to call my name. Don't pass me by. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh, when he calls your name, here's how I'll know if he's called your name. You know he's the great Lord. you have some understanding of who He is. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. Turn to John 21. After these things, where He had shown Himself alive by many infallible proofs, Luke says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the two sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now, I don't have any doubt that he wasn't just talking about recreational fishing. He said, I've had it with this disciple business. I'm going back to what I was. I'm going back to being a fisherman. And what did they say? We go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't recognize Him. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? Did you get anything by going fishing? Did you get anything by going back to what you're doing? Any benefit out of this? Did you get anything from this? How has this helped you? You got any meat? I love the simplicity of their answer. No. No. And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. He recognizes Him now. It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that, it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. You know, there's a lot of significance to that. He put that fisher's coat on again. Since when do you put something on to cast yourself? Seems like you take it off. No, he put it on. He was putting on Christ once again. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cast himself into the sea. When he calls your name, you'll know he's the Lord. Now, that's not an empty title. The thief understood this. Lord! Everybody would make fun of him. Here he is hanging on the cross. He says, you're the Lord. You're not going to stay on this cross. You're going to come back as a mighty reigning king. You must be successful. You're the Lord. You're God. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Can you pray that? The leper understood this. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He's the Lord. Now go back to John chapter 20. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom he cast seven devils. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, my great Lord, my great Master. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. For I'm not yet ascended to my Father. He makes her a preacher of the gospel. He says, but go to my brethren. I love the way he calls them my brethren. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ calls me his little brother. Go to my brethren. You know, in Mark's account, when he was talking to her, he says, you go to my brother, you go tell him. And Peter. Peter would have thought, well, he doesn't mean me. You especially tell Peter, I go before you. You go to my brethren. and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. The Lord Jesus Christ addresses his Father as he's your Father. He's my Father and he's your Father. And my God and your God. I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. He sends her back to the disciples. Now, in closing, let's turn over to Mark's account. Verse 18 says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She went back and told them exactly what the Lord told her to tell them. Now look at Mark 16. Beginning in verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They didn't believe her. This woman's crazy. She's seeing things. They didn't believe her. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. You remember that in Luke chapter 24 when he appeared to the two as they walked to Emmaus. And when he said, you know, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, the rest of the disciples. Neither believed they then. They didn't believe. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, as they said at meat. When did they believe? When he appeared to them. When the Lord speaks your name and appears to you, you will believe. You won't have any choice. You will believe. And you'll follow him. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, that's a strong statement, isn't it? He that believeth and is baptized. Does that mean baptism saves you? No. No. But if someone refused to be baptized, the Lord's never done anything for them. Baptism is your public confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized. Remember Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened so that she attended the things which Paul had spoken? And what's the first thing she did? She was baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, and notice it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized. It just says he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.